Genesis 39, verse 20. We're in a series on how to make your life count, looking at lessons from Old Testament characters. And so if you'd read for me, read with me, verse 20 to verse 23. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. We're going to be looking at the life of Joseph. And our subject is this, and I think it's especially pertinent and relates to us today, is succeeding in spite of your circumstances. In spite of your circumstances. Ever heard somebody say, when the time is right and everything comes together, then I'm going to really do something? Sometimes you have to succeed in spite of what's going on around you. So we're going to look at the life of Joseph. Let's pray, and then we will get into our subject. Father, thank you for your word. Speak it into our hearts today. Lord, let it be more than just a word that we hear, but let it be a word that gets into the deepest core of our being. And Lord, that you would speak it to us today. And Lord, have your way in the rest of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, we've looked at Moses and David so far in this series, and today we're going to look at the life of Joseph. There are two great laws that we really have to learn in our lives if we're going to be successful, and we all have to eventually learn these things. One is this. Things don't always go like you plan. We all know Murphy's Law. Things don't always go the way that you plan. The second thing is this, and for all of you who are control freaks, many circumstances that you have in life are uncontrollable. That's what frustrates us. There are things that happen that you cannot control, that you didn't see coming, and you can't do anything about. For instance, the floods that are taking place right now. Didn't know it was going to happen. Certainly not to the extent that it is. Not much that can be done to control it. But in other things, businesses go bankrupt. Employees get fired or laid off. Friends move away. Things happen. Life doesn't always go the way that we want it to go or the way that we planned it to go. And there are so many things in life that happen because of factors that you have no control over. Think about it. You didn't choose who your parents were going to be. You didn't choose your race. You didn't choose your sex. And by the way, you really can't. Now, we live in a crazy mixed up world where you can choose to be just about whatever you want to be. I tried choosing to be rich, but it didn't work. You didn't choose where you were going to be born. You didn't choose the circumstances around it. Those are the things that you're dealt. And you work with them. What you do with them is your choice. Now, Joseph is a wonderful character in the scripture. He was a guy who really, he made his life count. He went from being a favorite son to being a prisoner to becoming the second highest, most powerful person in the nation of Israel, in the nation of Egypt, which was the superpower of the time. He went from literally the pit that his brothers put him in to the palace. And he shows us that what counts in life, what really counts in life, is not your circumstances, it's your character. Character makes the difference in life. In the life of Joseph. And I want to look at a few things. Genesis 37 to 50 tell us his story. And that story has it all. Last week I mentioned that the Bible shows us Bible characters as they are. So it shows us David, the good, the bad, the ugly, and then the very ugly. In Joseph's life, you see it. There's revenge, there's deceit, there's lust, there's seduction, there's attempted murder, there's violence, there's rape, there's false charges and perjury. Joseph was rejected at home by his brothers, loved by his fathers. The second to the last of 12 children. There was a lot of rivalry and competition and bitterness. And his brothers were jealous of him because his father favored him. Here's the attitude. Look at Genesis 37, verse 4. It's on the screen, the New Living. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. That's a recipe for disaster right there. And then in verse 20, Joseph is coming down to see what they're doing. And now, Joseph was imperfect. It seems like he was a bit of a tattletale. So here, come on, let's kill him. They're speaking about Joseph. And throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. You see, Joseph had had a dream, and the interpretation of the dream was that his father and his brothers would all come and bow down before him. Now, understandably, he was the youngest. They didn't like it because they felt they were more important, and especially they felt like that it was disrespecting their father. So they were angry about it. Verse 21, but when Reuben heard of their scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him, he said. Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into this empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our laying a hand on him. So, Reuben's solution is this. We're not going to kill him. We're just going to let him stay down in the pit and slowly starve to death. That's wonderful compassion. The lesson we learn from Joseph is that when you have a dream, you really have to be careful who you share your dream with. Because not everybody is ready to get into the dream with you. So Joseph, it happens that just conveniently, a caravan of slave traders come along. And they decide that instead of leaving Joseph in the cistern or the pit, that they're going to sell him into slavery. 20 pieces of silver. And he's taken to Egypt and sold to a man named Potiphar, who was a soldier. And he became a slave. Now imagine if it was you. One day, you are your father's favorite son. You have all the toys, everything your father, because your father is wealthy. Everything that your father can provide, you have. Now, the next day, you are on your way to Egypt to be sold as a slave. No rights, no privileges, no possessions. I can't imagine. And he sold to Potiphar. And in verse 6 of Genesis 39, it says that Joseph, or that Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility for everything he owned. Joseph went into slavery, but his attitude was not, I'm going to dig in my heels and show them I shouldn't be here. His attitude was, whatever I'm going to do, I am going to do it the best that I can. He throws himself into it. Potiphar says, I'll trust him with everything that I have. And so now Joseph is still a slave, but he's in control of everything. He says who's going to do what and where they're going to do it and how it's going to be done. He's rising. Notice he said with Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. And then comes the problem. And Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. That's how the New Living puts it. And here comes the problem. And Potiphar's wife, who was not a Christian, by the way, because there were no Christians back then, who was not a believer in the God of the Old Testament in any way, she's a pagan, she looks at Joseph, well, soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. Now remember, she's his master's wife. She has power. Verse 8, but Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you. Because you are his wife, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. But verse 10, she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her and he kept out of her way as much as possible. A couple of things to note. First of all, sexual harassment in the workplace is not new. That's what that was. It wasn't new. The second thing is that Joseph holds on to his morals and his integrity. And so you would say, well and good, everything should go well. But then she framed him. When her husband comes home, he's run away. Her husband comes home and she says, your Hebrew slave that you trust so much, he tried to rape me. And I fought him off as hard as I could. So hard that I've got his coat here. And you need to do something about him. And Potiphar did what a husband's going to do. He said, I'll fix him. And he had him thrown into jail. Didn't listen. And it's going from bad to worse. He's thrown into prison for a crime that he didn't commit. He's forgotten by his friends. He's in prison. And it's a difficult situation. But the Bible tells us that while he was in prison, you can't keep a good man down. And so he acts responsibly. He cooperates. He's a model prisoner. And pretty soon he's basically running the prison. The king's butler and the king's baker are thrown into prison. And they have dreams. Joseph interprets their dreams. He says to the baker, it's not your lucky day. Now I'm paraphrasing. He says, it's not your lucky day. You're going to get out of prison, but they're going to kill you. Too bad. This is not good. To the butler, he says, you're going to get out of prison. You're going to be restored to your position. Everything's going to be back the way it was. And remember me when you get out of prison. But months go by, the butler gets out of prison, the baker is executed, and the butler forgets all about Joseph. Now, I want you to think about this. And I want you to think to yourself, what would I do? Father's favorite son, betrayed by your brothers, sold into slavery, no rights, no money, no possessions. You are a possession. And now, not only that, but you're just starting to get it together and rise up again. And all of a sudden, you get framed for doing right. You're falsely accused. You never did it. You get thrown into jail. What would your attitude be? I don't know about you, but I think I might struggle. I really, let's be honest. Do you ever play the game Whack-A-Mole? Where they have those little rodents that pop up and you have this padded thing and you have to hit them and they pop up. And you're just whacking away. To me, it would feel like I was the mole in Whack-A-Mole. Because he just starts to get up and boom, down again. Up, boom, down again. Up, boom, down again. And sometimes life is like that. Sometimes it seems like you just can't catch a break. That as hard as you try, you start getting up and it goes from bad to worse. And he ends up in prison and forgotten by his friends, forgotten by Pharaoh's staff member. And I came across a statement when I was studying and preparing for this. I think it's so true. Sometimes jealous people will try to hurt you. And immoral people will try to tempt you. And ambitious people will try to use you. But if you have the Lord in your life, you can still succeed. Think about Joseph. Jealous people tried to hurt him. An immoral person tried to tempt him. And an ambitious person forgot all about him once he got what he wanted. But if God is with you, if God is with you, you can still succeed. And I want to touch really quickly on some things from Joseph. The first thing that stands out about Joseph, his character. Three times in this passage, as we go through those chapters, it says this: the Lord was with Joseph. Three times, the Lord was with Joseph. It reemphasizes it because it's important. Because the thing that enabled Joseph to be the man that he was not his talent, was not his ability, it wasn't his intellect. It was the fact that God was with Joseph. That whether he was at the pinnacle of success or he was down in the pit of what seemed like depression, that the Lord was with him in it all. And brothers and sisters, we have different talents and abilities and things about us that make us who we are. But there is one thing we have in common, and that is whether I'm up or whether I'm down, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with you. And when you're on the mountaintop of success, remember, the Lord is with me. But when you're in the pit of despair, remember, you are not there by yourself, but the Lord is there with you. The Lord is with you. And one plus God is a majority. Why was God with Joseph? He was with him because, first of all, Joseph had a commitment to God. And Joseph had character. When you look at his character, what was it that made him so different? The question is, what do I do when circumstances seem to work against me and my dreams? What do I do to make my life count? And there are three things that you'll see in Joseph. We're going to touch on them. If I'm going to be successful, the lessons I learned, number one, I fulfill my responsibilities. I fulfill my responsibilities. Wherever you are, you do what God's called you to do, and that's the right thing. The second thing, I must maintain my integrity. I've got to maintain my integrity. No matter what happens in the situation, I keep my purity, my integrity. I maintain my standards. I keep my integrity. And the third thing, we're going to unpack these a little bit in just a moment. The third thing is, I trust God's sovereignty. I trust that God is in control. I trust that God is big enough and powerful enough to do what needs to be done. And when we learn these three very simple lessons, we learn how to make life count. The first thing about Joseph is that Joseph was faithful. He was dependable. He always gave his best no matter what. And he always began to rise to the top because he was faithful. We already read Genesis 39 verse 6. I'm not going to read it again. It'll be on the screen. But it talks about how Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility. And in his house, it tells us that he ran his affairs. He's thrown into jail. In verse 21, look at this. Genesis 39, 21. Some, you might say, well, I know God's with me and everything's going good, but what about when everything's not? But notice what this says. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. You know, some people today would be telling Joseph, Joseph, you must have sinned and made God angry. You must have a lack of faith. If you were truly a follower of God, you would not be in jail. You would be sitting in a palace somewhere. But God looks at it differently. He says, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. And whether you're in the prison or in the palace, the Lord is with you. And not only that, he showed him his faithful love. There was something that happened in the life of Joseph in the prison that he understood that God is not my adversary. God is the one who loves me. That's important for us to understand. Notice verse 22, or let's look at verse 21. The Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners over everything that happened in the prison. He had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. And again, in verse 23, it says, and the Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Notice that. But Joseph's still in prison. He still doesn't have his freedom. Not only is he a slave, he's an imprisoned slave. But the Lord was with him. And there's a common thread, and that's it. The Lord was with him. We have an expression, when life gives you a lemon, make lemonade. And Joseph did that. He gets out of jail. He's promoted. And look at verse 37 of Genesis chapter 41. This is New Living again. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man? So now this is a pagan. He worships the sun god. He worships the cows and the Nile. But look at what he says about Joseph. He said, can we find anyone else like this? A man so obviously, I like that word, obviously filled with the Spirit of God. He looks at Joseph and he said, there's something that's different about this guy. He's got God in his life. What a testimony. And what a challenge for every one of us. That more than the world seeing our talent and saying they're so talented. More than the world seeing our intellect or our wisdom and saying they are so smart. That we need as followers of Jesus whom the Lord is with to have people in our world and in our culture who don't know Jesus. Who may not even be able to describe what is happening, but be able to say the Lord is obviously in their lives. That's a witness. That's a witness. The Lord is obviously within his life. There's a lesson that we learn, and that is the quality of your work reveals the quality of our spiritual life. Let's look on at what it says about Joseph. Verse 39, God's revealed the meaning of the dreams. No one's as intelligent or as wise as you are. Verse 40, you'll be in charge of my court and all my people will take orders from you. Only I sitting on my throne will have a rank higher than yours. Joseph, you're the guy now. From favored son, to a pit to starve to death, to a slave in Egypt, to the manager, slave manager of a household, down into prison, and their prisons had no human rights. Down into prison, and ends up in the palace. We look at it and say, what a wonderful story. But if you are Joseph, you don't know the next step in the story. If you're Joseph, you don't know about the palace when you're in the prison. If you're Joseph and you're in the pit and your brothers are scheming to get rid of you, to kill you, or leave you to starve to death, you don't know about the palace. Here's the law of success, Luke 16 and 10. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Let me challenge you today. Whatever responsibilities you have at work, at home, at church, it's by our faithfulness in what seems like small things that you can be trusted in the big things. That's what Jesus said. The second thing about Joseph is that Joseph maintained his integrity. Joseph was a man of absolute moral integrity and purity. He was so spotless they had to make up stuff about him. Remember Daniel, another Old Testament character? His political enemies wanted to destroy him and they said, we're going to find garbage on him. So they did a National Enquirer on him. They went and looked through his garbage. They went and looked through everything he'd ever did. They went and looked through his career, and they couldn't find anything. And they said, finally, the only thing we can do is we're going to pass a law saying you can't pray to anybody else but the king. And we know that Daniel is going to pray to his God towards Jerusalem. And the only thing we can do, we can't find anything in his character. We can't find anything else about him to bring him down. The only thing we can do is say you can't pray to your God, and we know he's going to do it anyway. Oh, that my character, that your character and integrity would be such that if somebody was trying to dig up dirt, that if somebody was trying to find things that they could use against you, that they couldn't find anything. Whether it's in business dealings or at home or at church or in any area of life, that we be people of such integrity. Can you imagine the internal battle that must have went on when Potiphar's wife was coming on to him? Imagine the rationalizations he could have made. God has forgotten me, I'm a slave. Goodness knows I got nothing good going on in my life, and why not take advantage? She's the boss's wife. Maybe she can get me some favors, and you know, it's going to all work better. Plus, he was a young guy. But instead, he refused to give in. And I want you to notice verse 9 of Genesis 39. This is so important for all of us. No one here has more authority than I do. This is what he said to Potiphar's wife. He has held back nothing from me except you. How could I do such a wicked thing? First of all, I won't break trust with my boss. And the second thing is, he says, it would be a great sin against God. He said, I can't do this. And brothers and sisters, there will be times when you will be challenged to do things that violate your moral code and the moral code of Scripture. And you need to remember that there are no victimless crimes. Because even if another person is not hurt, your integrity will suffer. And he said, I can't do it because I will not break the trust of my boss. Plus, not only that, if my boss never found out, if nobody ever knew, there's a God who loves me and who I love, who will always know, and I cannot sin against God. I've heard people say, well, you know, I wouldn't do this because the preacher might find out. But there's something even more important than the preacher knowing about what somebody does. And that is, I don't live for the preacher, I live for God. And the preacher is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. But God is. And nothing's ever hidden from God. And Joseph said, I can't do this because it's a great sin against God. We've got to have that realization that if I'm going to keep my life pure, if I'm going to live a righteous and holy life, that it's because I'm living it to please God. Finally, the last thing, Joseph recognized the sovereignty of God. As a young man, God gave Joseph a dream that he would make an impact with his life. And one day when he was totally naive, he shares it. He got poor reviews on his dream. For 30 years. See, sometimes we think it happened in like a week. 30 years. It seemed like his life went downhill. And God never explained, that the Bible says, God never explained to him what was going on. Never did. Joseph had no idea what was going on. He had every reason to doubt God's love. And it was only years later that it becomes clear what was going on. He's brought into a position of authority. There's a famine that's coming. Joseph prepares the way. People from surrounding nations have to come and buy food from Joseph and from Egypt. The country is prepared. Everything's well. Even his brothers end up coming to buy food. And this is the ultimate moment of payback. His brothers come. He recognizes them. They don't recognize him. He has the power to throw them in jail. He has the power to have them executed. Instead, he sells them food, sends their money back with them, and when they come again, they bring his younger brother with them, and he tells them who he is. Now, obviously, those brothers are afraid. We tried to kill him. We wanted to starve him to death. We wanted to kill him. We sold him into slavery. We're in big trouble. And I read this next verse, and I'm challenged. And I hope you are too. Verse 7 and verse 8. This is New Living. He said, God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your family's alive, and to preserve many survivors. Look at verse 8. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he's the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh and the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all of Egypt. And brothers and sisters, I read this passage, and every time I read it, it challenges me. Because Joseph had the opportunity for revenge, and instead he said, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. You thought you were going to destroy me, but God had a bigger plan. And I don't need to pay you back. Because I realized the hand of God was at work within it all. And there are some times within our lives that we look at it and say, how come somebody got away with it? But could it possibly be that God is positioning you in a place where he wants you down the road to be able to fulfill his purpose? You see, we see the now. God sees the whole. There are two important lessons. Pain often has a hidden purpose. And you usually don't figure out what the purpose is until well after the pain is over. The second thing is that God often redirects our lives through a failure or a mistake or a disappointment. When you come up against something like that, Don't think it's all over. But understand that God's doing something in my situation. Because God never closes a door unless He opens another one. And it may not open in my timing, but God's timing is always best. In verse 20 of Genesis 50, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position. You see, when Joseph was in the pit, when Joseph was enslaved, when Joseph was in prison, he was not forgotten. It was a long way around, but God was saying, I'm going to bring you to the palace because this is your time. Your time. You may have been harmed by other people, but God has a way of turning it to good. Let it go. You know, one of the most popular words around now is that of victim. And we're all victimized now. But in Jesus, you do not have to stay a victim. He wants you to be a victor. Joseph had ups and downs, but he never let his circumstances make him bitter. And I close with this verse, if you stand with me. The writer of Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. If you're a young person here today, let me challenge you. Like Joseph, dare to trust that God knows what's best and God will lead and guide and direct. You might be here today and you're in one of those down periods of life, but and you don't understand why this is happening to me. But I want you to know God is with you in the pit. God's with you in the prison. God's with you in what you see as your failure. And God has a way of working it all out for your good. Is God the sovereign, the king of your life? If He's not, you're missing the peace, the confidence, the joy that comes from knowing God's got it all under control. God's in control. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Jesus, right now, You're speaking into somebody's life. Lord, I pray that powerfully right now Your presence, Your power would speak. I pray, Lord, that You would be at work. And Lord, I pray that for somebody here this morning that's been discouraged about the way life has taken them, Lord, I pray that as the story of Joseph has been told, that, Lord, that truth, that You're always with us and You're working something in Your divine path. I pray right now that You will speak it. I pray, Lord, for each one of us that we'll be reminded of it with the twists and the turns that life takes. Lord, I pray that You, O God, would be glorified. And Lord, I pray that in the next few moments as we praise and as we worship, Lord, that You would speak into us. Lord, that You would touch, that You would be at work. God, because You're great and greatly to be praised. Lord, now we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. And as we do, I want to invite you to come and just stand here at the front. We've got more room at the front today than we've had in years. I'd like to invite you to come and just to stand and lift up your hands and say, Lord, just move in my life. Let my faith be so grounded in You that, Lord, if it's the pit or the palace, I'm still trusting You. Lord, if it's the up or the down, I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to maintain my integrity. I'm still going to be faithful. And Lord, I will trust Your sovereignty.